Nancy Payette. Marilyn McCarney and I are interviewing personnel who were instrumental in developing Renfrew Museum and Park. Today is Tuesday, January 14, 1992, and Mr. Edward Miller is being interviewed. He was an original board member and is currently superintendent of grounds for Renfrew Park. He was a trusted friend and an employee of the Nicodemuses for many years.
Well, I'd like to go back a little bit further than the beginning of Renfrew's beginning to give a little background of how I became involved with the Nicodemus family. I worked for the Nicodemus family, Mr. Nicodemus, especially before they were married, since I'm 13 years old, and was only out of their employment for a period of 5 years, the years being 1947 to 1952. And when the Nicodemuses decided to get married, they also needed a place to live, or as I call it, their honeymoon cottage. So in 1942, December the 22nd, Mr. and Mrs. Nicodemus were married, and they bought what was then the Strickler from the Strickler Estate, what we now know as Renfrew Museum and Park. And they spent over a year remodeling, renovating, and that's how my experience and my employment began at Renfrew. They never could decide on what to call their home. Willow Creek was, or Willow Glen was one of those names. Antietam, which means Winding Creek. But it never really received a name during their marriage. And I think it goes without saying, going back even in Mrs. Nicodemus's childhood, why this property had a great attraction for her. Her father was a great fisherman, fished all the time, and the Antietam Creek was one of his favorite fishing spots. So she was here, she seen the stream, she often talked to me about the lovely stream and the beauty of the of nature, and coming to this place just to enjoy. And I think at the time of their marriage, this played an important role in the selection of their home for their after their marriage. Mr. and Mrs. Nicodemus was married late in life. Mr. Nicodemus was 61. Mrs. Nicodemus, Miss Geyser, was 51. But they had courted each other for 30 years prior to their marriage. And I really believe that Mr. Nicodemus was a bachelor at heart, would probably never have gotten married had it not been that his aunt, whom he lived with, broke up housekeeping at the age of 91. And so he was perfectly content to be a bachelor. But after his aunt's breaking up her home, he no longer had a place to stay, and so they decided that they would get married and establish a home for themselves. And they enjoyed 21 years of married life. They moved into the Strickler house in August of 1944 and then enjoyed their own way of entertainment. Mr. Nicodemus was an outdoor man, so was Mrs. Nicodemus, an outdoor person. His interest was horses and fruit farming. Her interest was bridge and golf. And so they went their separate ways, but one of the things that they enjoyed tremendously together was having parties at their home. It was beautifully decorated with furnishings that Mrs. Nicodemus had collected long time before they was married, and continued to collect as long as she and Mr. Nicodemus were alive. And so, in 1965, Mr. Nicodemus passed away, and not much was done for the next 2 to 3 years. Ms. Nicodemus had a tough time dealing with Mr. Nicodemus's death, and so there was very little talk about what is now going to happen to this property. But after about 3 or 4 years, now we talked every day about different things, but we never talked about what was going to happen to Renfrew. Well, it wasn't Renfrew then, but to her home and to her farm. In 1969, I don't remember the month that we started to talk about this, but Mrs. Nicodemus came to me and said, I need to talk to you about the future and what we are going to do with this house and this farm after my death. I have a great concern that it continue on pretty much as it is now. And so, first of all, one of the most important things for Mrs. Nicodemus to tell me was, I trust you, I will tell you all that I have on my mind and my idea of what I want Renfrew to become. But I want to swear you to secrecy, that you can't tell anyone, not even your wife. And I promised that I would do that. It was a very difficult decision to make, because I thought I shared with my wife everything. But I honored that, and every day at 1 o'clock, we spent sometimes an hour, sometimes 2 hours, and there was times when we spent all afternoon. Can we just... One of the most important things I think that I have to remember here is the fact that Mrs. Nicodemus did trust me as a friend and as an employee to keep those secrets. Now, other people had to be involved because of the complication of trying to set this up that it was going to be satisfactory for everybody concerned. So once we've established now that I was going to, she had confidence in me that I was going to keep this to myself, and I did. We talked some days 1 hour, sometimes it was all afternoon. Another thing that I think is important to remember here, that this went on 7 days a week. It wasn't a 5-day-a-week job. I had breakfast with the Nicodemus family on Sunday morning when Mr. and Mrs. Nicodemus lived. And then after Mr. Nicodemus's death, Mrs. Nicodemus said, I would like for you to continue to have breakfast with me on Sunday morning. And we had that agreement, and we did that. She was a great cook, and she made most everything. Her breakfast was made from scratch, which was the most delicious breakfast anybody could ever have. And several things, as time went on, Mrs. Nicodemus knew that she was having some physical problems. She was very concerned that everything would be in place. And first choice was, when we talked about what to do with it, whether to give it to the state, the borough, or just to set up a trust. There was three ways to go. The state, we brought state people in that would have been involved if it would have went to the state. And after discussing that with Chester Adams, who was the president of the First National Bank, Leroy Maxwell, who was the attorney, Mr. Nicodemus, and myself, and the three people from the state, their conclusion was to offer it first to the borough of Waynesboro, because local government could handle it much better than state government, because they thought it would get lost in control and really wouldn't be what Mrs. Nicodemus wanted. So on the strength of that, the decision was made to offer it to the borough of Waynesboro. And several things then, as we got closer to the time of her death, about a year before she died, she really was concerned that her time was very short, and so she was now concerned about what was going to happen to her in her last year or last months of her life. So again, she came to me and said, "Ed, I want you to make me two promises. The first one is that I want you to promise me that you'll never put me in a home. And the second one is that you will never leave." And I said, "Miss Nicodemus, I think we need to sit down and we need to discuss this, because I don't think you're going to like my answer." So we sat again and we talked all afternoon. I said, "I'm going to say no to both of those requests. But I'll preface it by saying, I will never put you in a home unless it becomes necessary for your welfare." And of course she came back and said, "Well, we never put Nick in a home." Nick is Mr. Nicodemus. And I said, "No, but you was here." And I said, "We had three people. My wife, Mary Jane, myself, and a nurse that stayed with him 24 hours a day. I was with him during the daylight hours. My wife took the first shift in the evening, and then the nurse came in at midnight to relieve my wife." And I said, "We did that for 2 years, and it worked out fine. But now you're here alone, and I will have people around the clock for you as long as we keep you in this house and keep you happy. But the last resort would be that you'd be put in a home. That's the only way." Well, she agreed with that. And I said, the second request I say no to also. I want the borough to want me. I don't want them to be forced to take me. She said, "Well, I'll put it in the will that they have to take you." I said, "No, please don't. I want to be accepted by the borough council on the merit that I'm the one that they want. And so please understand, I don't want to leave. I want to stay here. I want to see this place become what you want it to be. And I want you on the first board," was her other request. And I said, "Well, there again, you have a choice to select your first board," which she did. And I was on that first board, and I served for a total of 4 years on the initial board. After her death, the will was read. I knew what was going to be in the will. I didn't know all the intricate parts of it, but there was a stipulation that the borough had to accept the property 6 months after her death. And 1 year after her death, the museum had to be open to the general public. 18 months after her death, there had to be a portion of the park open to the general public. That was the hard, fast rule that she had. That came about because she knew how long it took for the borough to accept the library and the involvement there, and I don't know enough about that to talk about it. But that is one of the reasons why she said, or put a time frame on it. because Annie Yost, who gave the building to the borough to be used as a library, was a relative of Mrs. Nicodemus. I'm not sure the connection, but they were related. And so she remembers all the hassle of how long it took to be accepted and all the ramifications of that. Mrs. Nicodemus did not want that. She also wanted to be, not to become a liability to the taxpayers. She wanted to be self-contained, self-supporting, and so we talked about that. 1969 was when we talked about that. How much will it cost to convert this to a museum and a park? And I said, well, I think you're talking about $1 million to really operate this place in the fashion that you're talking about. And she said, I don't have $1 million. And I said, well, it can be done on long term. It can be done in stages. You can do certain things as money will allow you to do that. And this is how her sister became involved. She had a sister, Hazel, who was 8 years older than she was, never married, but Mrs. Nicodemus and Hazel were very close. They did everything together. They were two different personalities. But Hazel looked to Mrs. Nicodemus for guidance and direction. She was very good at thinking things through and planning. And so she said to Hazel, would you agree to, after your death, to put your money, what's left over, after your special bequest, into Renfrew so that we can establish a museum and a park? And she said, Emmy, I will do whatever you want me to do. And so that's how the endowment was established. After a few special bequests from both Mrs. Nicodemus and Hazel, they put the rest of the residue of their estate into a trust, which amounted to close to $1 million. And at that time, the borough did accept it. The things went very slowly at first because we had to have an architect to design the house that it would be feasible and workable for the general public. And we choose a company out of Chester, Pennsylvania. And they sat down and they wrote up a master plan, all of the ramifications of changing the house, taking it back to where it was originally, as close as they could. And really, here's where the hard work and the planning came about to make this dream a reality. I'm a little ahead of my story because after the, and I think it's important to support what I had said originally, that I did not want to be the person that they had to accept as the superintendent of Renfrew Museum and Park. I wanted the job, but I wanted them to want me. And we did have a lot of hassles. In January of 1974, the borough accepted it. And then I became an employee of the borough. Our board, consisting of myself and six other people, talked about, well, what would my salary be? And I would always excuse myself when my salary came up. And they selected a salary, and the borough council turned it down, because that was more than the borough employees were getting at that time. Although it was a salary, it was based on an hourly rate. So for 3 to 4 months, we hassled over that, and I had decided that the borough council had two choices. They either accept me at the salary that was offered, or they tell me that they did not want me. and that was their two choices. And after 3 months, they decided that they would hire me at the salary that was recommended by our board. That was the beginning of a transition for me. Basically, I was accustomed to working on a one-to-one basis. An employer-employee. I didn't have to deal with anybody else. Now, suddenly, I have a six additional people on Renfrew board, and six councilmen, and a mayor and a borough manager that I had to work with and try to keep everybody satisfied that everything was going well. Again, there's things that in doing this kind of an interview that you're, when you're thinking while you're talking, there's things that you have a tendency to forget. I think it's important at this point to digress a little bit and say, well, why was it called Renfrew? Why wasn't it called Nicodemus or another choice rather than Renfrew Museum and Park? And that was something that I'm sure goes back to when the Nicodemuses bought this. They couldn't decide what to call it. So in Mrs. Nicodemus's will, I want this to be called Renfrew Museum and Park. And this was in memory of the Renfrew sisters who supposedly were massacred here by the Indians. That was massacred by renegade Indians in 1774. That's never been documented, but the history books talk about it. Jake Stoner's book, Needs History Book of Franklin County, relate to that, that the Sarah and Jane Renfrew was massacred by the Indians and their scalps were carried off. Two renegades, Indians, and then the vigilantes went after them, caught up with them in Bedford, supposedly shot the Indians under a plum tree eating plums, and scalped the Indians, brought their scalps back, and also the Renfrew sisters' scalps back, and buried them with the girls here on this property. Again, no documentation for that, but we feel folklore wins out here, and we like to think that that actually did happen here. The Renfrew sisters are supposedly buried in the little cemetery on the hill on the Renfrew property. They would not have been buried there originally because the cemetery wasn't established till about 1800. And so they would have been buried on the property, then exhumed and reinterred in the little cemetery on the hill. And that's how the name Renfrew came about. Mrs. Nicodemus was a very proud person, but yet didn't really want a lot of glory about what she did for the borough of Waynesboro. Her only reason, and she stated that many times, for giving this property to the borough of Waynesboro was, we made our money in this town, I would like to give it back to this town. And that really, believe me, is the real reason why Mrs. Nicodemus did that. Now, the people that I think were most instrumental in following through the will, the statements of Mrs. Nicodemus, was of course the acceptance, first of all, by the borough council, and then having a dedicated borough manager, Richard Miller, who was instrumental in getting everything in place, making sure that everything was done according to the will, trying to establish a museum and a park that people many years down the road could enjoy. So working with the, finally selecting an architect, getting through that, and then we, and I say we, Dick Miller being the borough manager, was the person that dictated what ought to be done and what steps ought to be taken to get to that point. And me being the person on site to follow through with his instructions and doing the things that needed to be done to change the museum and to open it up to the public without changing the aesthetics or the character of the building in any way, shape, or form. So almost it took over a year to complete the renovation, but we did honor the request of the will that it was open to the general public 1 year on the very day after the borough accepted it, and then immediately closed it up again and then finished the renovation, which took another couple months, and then it was open to the general public. A small portion of the park was established within the deadline of the will. And as time went on, it was painfully slow for many reasons. Again, making sure under the leadership of Dick Miller, and I can never praise Dick Miller enough for his part in establishing Renfrew. Without his dedication, without his knowledge, Renfrew would not be what it is today. And I think the public needs to remember that. And Dick died very young, not really seeing his dream fulfilled, which is unfortunate. It's the museum had really been very slow. Things didn't happen. We didn't have a curator right away. We had a part-time curator. Then we finally got another part-time curator, and then a full-time curator, which went on for about 5 years without a lot of things happening. This bothered me as superintendent, as one that knew what Mrs. Nicodemus wanted it to be. It bothered me from the point that I didn't think things were moving fast enough. That are we going to move? And then finally, about 6 years ago, when the curator changed again, things really started to happen that I feel that have brought about the fruition of what Mrs. Nicodemus really expected and wanted. Yes, there was pitfalls. Yes, there was trying times. There was things that made me believe that it wasn't working towards the end that Mrs. Nicodemus wanted. We didn't want it to become a liability to the taxpayers. I certainly didn't want that. But once things was really in place, then other things happened that now I would really think that Mrs. Nicodemus, for most part, would be very pleased with what has taken place, what continues to take place. And we, after 18 years, we are still operating on the income from the estate. We have never had to resort to taxpayers' money. And I feel that we never should have to. I think with the generosity of some of the people in this town that have added now to the endowment, which has increased our income, not a lot, but has increased our income, we are still managing to operate under those terms. Because the borough of Waynesboro can't really afford to keep us if it becomes a liability of the taxpayers, especially at this time in history because of the recession, because our income has been less, even though our endowment is larger, our income is slightly less than what it was when it was first established. And that's because of interest rates. I would hope that we'd always be able to manage to keep an interest of the constituency and the people of Waynesboro, that they would continue to support financially, volunteering, and every aspect of that. And that looks, to me, that looks like it is better now than it ever was before. The community support is greater. When we went out and had a capital funds drive 3 years ago to rebuild the Fahnestock property, I think shows the generosity of this town and their support for Renfrew. We started out with, wasn't sure whether we should go for $200,000. $190,000 was thought about for a capital funds drive. They figured it would take $150,000 to establish and do some rebuilding at the Bonestock property. And what the final figure was $150,000. And before the campaign was over, we had raised $210,000. My general consensus was that we should have made it before anything was established. Let's make it $250,000. And the people of this town will support it. The fear of not reaching the goal made them change their mind and go to $150,000. But it did surpass that goal, which tells me, and I'm sure the rest of the board members, that Waynesboro residents do support what's being done at Renfrew. And that money now has all been expended with the exception of a few thousand dollars, and that will be spent on the Bonestock house. And hopefully down the road, people will see fit to continue to support it financially in the way of monies while they're alive, or maybe included in their will, and Renfrew will continue on for many years to come. And we all have Mrs. Nicodemus to thank for that, her foresight and her memories of her childhood and how Renfrew came about. And I feel that we have lost persons like Mrs. Nicodemus. There's not many of that generation left. Not many with that kind of generosity that is willing to give everything that they have to see that something is perpetuated for the future generations. And I really feel that the Renfrew Museum and Park has a great future, and I'm glad to be a part of that.